How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 229 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder. You can subscribe to the podcast there. Please leave a review if you're feeling like it. I've said this the last few episodes. Listenership is really up right now, which is kind of cool. I did not expect that to be the case. And leaving those reviews, if you're feeling super nice, leaving a good one, it honestly does help us with the ratings on iTunes and that kind of stuff. The five stars are nice also. How about this? Just begging for people to say nice things about me on the internet. That's journalism today. Log on to normantranscript.com. You check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there, and the Thunder uniforms are up, which we're going to talk about today. A couple new uniforms that they've got, the Association Edition and the Icon Edition. I'm on Tuesday, Thursdays now, not Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm going to be on vacation starting this weekend for a couple of weeks, but I'm still going to be podcasting. Don't expect the writing, though. I'm not really going to be writing. Maybe I'll post a thing here or there just to stay sharp or if something major happens. But that's kind of it. I'll be on vacation and off of my time. But I'll still be around Twitter so you can tweet how much you hate me there. Today, guest from the land of the Golden State Warriors, covering the Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle, Connor Letourneau. Connor, how you doing, man?
Hey, thanks for having me, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, people are automatically going to hate you because you cover the Warriors, and so you have to tell them a reason why you're actually a nice guy.
Why I'm actually a nice guy? Dang, that's a tough one. It probably shouldn't be that tough, but
maybe you're not that nice.
I like to think I'm a nice guy. I try to be a nice guy. I don't know. You'd probably be, as someone who's a friend of mine, you could probably answer that better than I could.
Oh, I have no reasons. I was hoping you'd save yourself.
Oh man, this does not look good.
Yeah, you're automatically there. Oh man, they're gonna hate you. I have like Danny LaRue on, who's just like the tamest person you could possibly have, and they're like, oh, he hosted Locked On Warriors. Get him out of here.
If anyone hates Danny LaRue, then you're just a horrible person because he's a very likable human being.
Did you see the Thunder came out? So Thunder came out with uniforms today. Did you get a chance to see them?
Yeah, the Warriors have new-ish uniforms as well, kind of going along with that whole Nike thing. I did because I follow you on Twitter, so I checked them out. I mean, they obviously don't look that different.
They're exactly the same.
Yeah, pretty much are the exact same. They just have a Nike logo on them. So there's that.
Yeah, so the Thunder, in my opinion, have maybe the worst uniforms in the league. I've never been a fan of their uniforms, mostly because my issue is the lack of consistency. Like, they have too many colors. They have a navy blue, they have an aqua blue, they have like a different kind of like tealer blue, they have a couple of different oranges, they have a white. They have some other stuff in there. Like, they have a lot of different colors. And, like, a Thunder jersey never really looks like a Thunder jersey. So, two of the four. You know what's great? Podcasting about jerseys. Like, if someone hasn't seen the jersey, like, they have no idea what we're talking about. So, should we describe this right now? I've never done a jersey podcast.
I mean, kind of did. It literally is the same, but just has Nike logos on it. Nike, the swoosh on it. I mean, I hope no one takes this the wrong way. And I know this could be a controversial statement. But I've always felt like the Thunder's uniform looks like a WNBA uniform.
What do you mean?
Like, it just kind of looks effeminate. I just think like the colors and the way it's designed, I just kind of think it looks like a WNBA uniform. And I don't think the Thunder are the only team that you could say that about. I think the Timberwolves also have WNBA uniforms. And I've heard Kevin Love say that about their uniforms when he played for them. I just kind of think it's not the most masculine uniforms, and there's nothing wrong with that. I hope no one takes offense to that. I'm just trying to make an objective statement.
I really appreciate that statement, especially after me telling you to intro it by saying you're a nice guy, you not being able to find a way, and then you calling the Thunder uniforms effeminate. I really enjoy all of that. You know, the Thunder officially say that. I have no opinion on that, by the way. That is definitely something I haven't thought about, but I do appreciate you bringing that perspective to the podcast, because that wouldn't have been here otherwise. The Thunder officially say, by the way, that these uniforms are different. They said in the release, here are the differences. There's like a different hemline cut in the shorts, so you got that. The seams in the armhole and the neck are altered to eliminate distractions and irritation. That's the language. Distractions. And who is getting distracted by the armholes? The materials wick sweat 30% faster than previous NBA uniforms. And the fabric is comprised of alpha yarns and recycled polyester, which I'm not ashamed to admit. I had no idea what alpha yarns were until today.
I still don't know what they are.
Neither. It's it's an alpha type of yarn, obviously.
Okay. Neither do I, even though I just said that I do.
Yeah, no, I have no idea what alpha yarns are. So they are different. They come out on September 29th for sale, so you can purchase them there. But yeah, you know what I'm disappointed about? Now we'll get into the real talk. I think everyone generally agreed the Thunder needed some sort of rebrand because the jerseys. No one looks at those jerseys and thinks, oh, those are really nice. And they're doing away with the sunset jerseys, as the Oklahoman has previously reported. They're doing away with the sunset jerseys. I honestly always thought the sunset jerseys were ugly because I don't really like orange uniforms. I grew up a Syracuse fan, and I always thought Syracuse's uniforms are ugly. I think Clemson's uniforms are ugly. I just think orange uniforms look vomit-colored. Like, they look ugly. And I've never really been a fan of them, so I wasn't a fan of the sunset ones. But, like, they're going to bring in two more jerseys, but this was a chance for them to – they don't need to completely alter everything, but it was a chance for them to bring in some kind of newer, cooler kind of identity, and they just pretty actively chose not to, and it's honestly not that big of a deal. But I feel like this was a good opportunity to try to sell more uniforms, and obviously they didn't feel like they needed that because they stuck with these same uniforms. This was their opportunity to try to do that, and they went in the exact same direction that they've always been going in, which was not necessarily surprising because this was somewhat expected for them to have a similar uniform, but like they could have gone a different direction, and I understand if a Thunder fan is upset that they didn't.
No, I agree, and I think that for a couple reasons beyond that, it would have made sense to try to switch things up a little bit. I mean, last year was kind of the beginning of a new era without KD and it officially being Russell Westbrook's team. And now we're kind of in another, variation of that era with Paul George coming on board. And it just feels like a good time to rebrand a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Like, I understand the iconic teams not rebranding, you know, like the Lakers, the Lakers should not rebrand their jersey. They're the Lakers. Like, that logo being synonymous with the Lakers is part of what makes those uniforms and everything like that desirable. Like, the Yankees should not rebrand. They should keep the pinstripes. And they should keep the interlocking NY. Like, you keep those things because those make a difference. Like, the Thunder don't necessarily have that. They've been around for going on 10 years now. They don't have that. They're still in a place where there's nothing historically iconic to the league about their uniforms. And I think it's just a direction. It's a direction that I would have gone. It's honestly not that big of a deal. There are two more alternates that are going to be released later this fall.
I always thought it'd be cool. I thought it'd be cool if they actually really played more off of their name in their uniform, you know?
Yeah, I
like
agree.
If they actually had somehow you could do cool things design wise with Thunder, you know? And they just kind of totally backed away from that. And there's also nothing about their uniforms that speak to Oklahoma or Oklahoma City. I always think it's cool when logos or uniforms incorporate aspects of the city that they're representing. Obviously, the Warriors do that with the Golden Gate Bridge.
Completely agree. Like, that's why I love the Pistons Motor City uniforms.
Yeah.
Like, I think those are awesome. I feel the same way about arenas, too. Like, I think, for example, like, did you go to the new Sacramento arena last year?
Yeah, a couple times. I was a big fan. I liked it a lot.
It's awesome, right? Like, I think that arena, which was new and just opened last year, that arena has an argument for nicest arena in the NBA, in my opinion. And not just because, did you have the cookies in the media room there?
Oh, they're awesome. They're so good. Best pregame spread of any arena.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, those cookies are ridiculous. I think I had... The oatmeal raisin cookies are so good, I actually took them over chocolate chip. One of the few times in my life I've gone oatmeal raisin over chocolate chip.
Yeah, that's high praise.
Because they're so, so good. Anyway, one of the reasons I actually like the arena beyond the oatmeal raisin cookies is that, sorry, I haven't been eating sugar for a little while. And I just, now I'm fixating on those cookies in my mind. I don't remember what I was talking about.
You were talking about how the arena and why you like the arena and how it represents the city, right?
There we go. Yeah, it does. Like, they've got upstairs, they've got like a bunch of shoes, like from former players that form a Kings logo, I think. And like, there's this really cool food court down on like a really big area of the arena behind one of the baskets. And it's not just like this kind of alternative food court. They also have signs that used to be up in like from small stores or bigger businesses and that kind of stuff that used to be up in Sacramento in like the 60s and the 70s. And they're these old signs, and it just really localizes the entire place. It's extremely cool. And it really makes you feel like, for example, like Barclays is extremely nice. It is so damn nice. But when you're walking around Barclays, like, you could be in any team's arena. Like, it's not necessarily specific to the Nets. And what's so cool is there's no way you can walk around that arena one time in Sacramento and not know that you're in Sacramento. And I think that's a really cool thing. Now I'm with you. I think jerseys could easily do the same thing. And like, yeah, incorporating. One of the funny things is like Thunder is one of the only team names that actually can't be expressed in an illustration. So you have to do things that accompany Thunder.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the Thunder name. I remember when, before they became the Thunder, there were several ideas floated out there, and I liked all the other ones better. Partly because you can illustrate them better. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but even like throwing in a lightning bolt or something like that, just make it a little more, I don't know, a little more apparent that they are. You would Kings Arena eyes them. Like, they would make it a little more apparent of that. Connor, I want to talk about the Thunder standing in the West in a little bit too. But before we move on, I just want to take a quick second to talk about SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONBA today. That's LO like Locked On. And remember, it used to be LO Thunder. It's not LO Thunder anymore. It's now LONBA. That's promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Quick break, and then let's talk about the Thunder and the Warriors.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Where do you think the Thunder are in the West this year?
I think that they are third or fourth in the West. I think that they jumped, you know, into contention for home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs with the addition of Paul George. That was a phenomenal trade, by the way. I mean, just not just getting Paul George, but getting Paul George for what they had to give up. Dan Gilbert kind of made that jab today at the Pacers, and a lot of people have been making jabs because they got downright fleeced, in my opinion. But no, I think they're definitely a three or four in the West. What do you think?
I think that's right. I haven't officially decided if I'm going to have them third or fourth, but I think I'm definitely going to have Houston number two, depending on how this turns out. And honestly, like, man, the Spurs, I just don't love what the Spurs did. I know we're not supposed to say anything bad about the Spurs. And they're amazing. They're the best organization in the
league. Never underestimate the Spurs.
Yeah, they're the best organization in the league, and they have the best coach in the league. And every year I think, oh, they're going to take a step back. Like last year I figured – they were number one in defense 2 years ago, and I was like, well, they've lost defensive personnel, and there's just no way. They're still going to be good, and they're going to be like a good 50-win team, but there's no way they're going to win 60-some games again, and there's no way they're going to be number one in defense again with a front court that includes David Lee and Pau Gasol. And what do you know? They win 60-some-odd games again, and they're number one in defense again. They're even an incredible defense while Kawhi is off the floor, and like they have this magic where they're
actually
like,
better defensively when Kawhi was off the floor, which
yes.
Is shocking.
Yes. And like, meanwhile, like they turn like Dwayne Dedman into like a legitimate defensive difference maker and just like sprinkle this Spurs dust on everybody. But they
made Jonathan Simmons a relevant NBA player.
Yes, for sure. But now those guys are gone. I was not a fan of the Powell contract. He can still play. He can still contribute. But like he opted out of a $16 million player option. And everyone was like, oh, the Spurs used their Jedi mind powers again to get somebody to take less money. And then he just is getting that money over 3 years now. Like, I'm not a fan of – I don't think – I mean, they'll be really good. Don't get me wrong. They'll be really good. But I think it's extremely possible that they win like – they have a 10 win drop and win like 52 games next year. Like, I wouldn't be saying the Thunder win, like, 54 or something like that. Like, I think that's extremely possible. And I don't know if that's the direction I'm going to go. I honestly need to sit down and think about it more and look at more information to decide if that's how I actually feel. But, like, I feel like that's a plausible scenario in the regular season next year.
I have to agree. I agree with everything you're saying. I wasn't a huge fan of the Spurs offseason either. It'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
So – do you find it fun covering Thunder Warriors games? I kind of took a turn. You do.
I told a lot of people after the finals, after they won the title, that the most memorable game I covered the entire season was that cupcake game. Durant's first return back to Oklahoma City. That, to me, had more buzz and was more intense to cover than any of the final games.
Why do you say that?
There was more raw emotion to it, you know. It was so personal, and you could tell that it really affected Durant on a personal level, and the community, the city of Oklahoma City, and everyone involved. Even you know Durant's teammates, who you know shouldn't have much reason to feel affected by it, but they felt affected by it because they knew how much it meant to Durant. And you know, everything that went into that with the cupcake chants and people dressing up as cupcakes and, you know, police having to come on the floor to hold back that fan sitting behind the Warriors bench and that fan getting into it with Draymond. I mean, it was just – there were so many things going on. And there were moments like that at times in the finals, especially in Cleveland. But just – everything together, it felt like more of an event than even the finals did, which is obviously saying a lot.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I at some point during the regular season, and I always forget what I actually say on the podcast and what I just say in conversations to people. So I think I said this on the podcast, but I don't really remember. But at some point in the regular season, I got to a point where it was like the third or fourth. It might have been the famous Furious and Bewildered game. So like the third or fourth time, like the fourth time they played that year,
yeah,
when Durant was hurt and he wasn't even playing, and everyone was like, "Well, this is just going to be so much different than the last time they played." And then Furious, yeah, and Bewildered came out the night before. And when Furious and Bewildered came out, I was just like, this isn't fun anymore. Like, this is like petty and silly at this point. But in retrospect, I think I was probably just burnt out and stressed out from not having a day off for like 6 months. Yeah. And it was fun. Like, those were fun games. I wonder what it's going to be like next year. Because on one hand, like, you have, you know, you're a year removed from KD, and Russ is the MVP, and just like, time is always, it's not like KD's going to come in and get applauded or anything, but time always takes away from the intensity of this stuff. And like I've said, like I said at the time, like, if it were like, if every time KD returned to Oklahoma City, it was like how it was that first game, then that would almost take away some of the magic of the first game, you know? Like, part of it was that it was like such a passionate moment, not just like a passionate over, I mean, obviously a passionate fan base, but it was that the moment was so passionate. If it happens every time, it kind of takes away from that singular moment. But I wonder what's going to happen, because like, I wonder if the Thunder get off to a good start and they prove to be one of the maybe 5-6 teams, best teams in the NBA, which is extremely possible, then I wonder if that bitterness isn't necessarily extreme, and I wonder how that affects the type of crowd. They're still going to be loud and raucous like they are for every single game, especially the big ones. But I wonder if like that loudness and raucousness is going to come from a different place. Yeah, am I making sense?
No, you are. I think that they're going to be, first of all, I think they're going to be better basketball games than they were a year ago, just because the Thunder are going to be a better basketball team and it's going to be more competitive. But I don't think it's going to be necessarily as interesting or fun to cover, just because it's not going to be as raw, you know? It's not going to be as fresh. And now there's the reports that KD and Russ are actually talking now and are cool with each other. And it's just like, it's not going to be, there's not going to be that animosity, you know? It's going to be more just like two good basketball teams going at each other than two basketball teams that hate each other going at each other.
Yeah. I think it'll be there to a degree, and it'll definitely be there from the fan base, but I'm with you. It's not going to quite be the same from an emotional standpoint, but you know what? You know what's the biggest difference between you and me?
Mm.
You like the emotional stuff more than I do. And I just like kind of want to strip that raw and like write about the game as if there was nobody else there.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've told you, I like sports and I like basketball, but I don't cover sports because of the X's and O's of the game. I cover it for the human element and all that other stuff. So yeah, that is what I'm more concerned about. And I think that's why we're different writers. I think we both bring something different to the table.
I think it's funny how like two people we're the same age, similar backgrounds, basically the same job, and we have totally different approaches.
Yeah, that's why this profession's great, because I genuinely think that you look at a lot of these NBA writers, and I think a lot of these NBA writers are doing their thing and are great at what they do, and they do it totally differently than I do it. But I have a respect and understanding of what they're bringing to the table. And I also understand why I do what I do. So, you know, I like the example I always give is, you know, Anthony Slater, who listeners of this podcast probably know well. You know, he's my main competitor locally on the Warriors beat, and he does the beat completely differently than I do. But I think between the two of us, I would like to think that between the two of us, the readers kind of have all their bases covered, because I approach it one way and he does another approach. And between those two approaches, we kind of have it all taken care of. So that's the goal. That's my hope, at least.
You got anything big coming out soon? I mean, I know it's the dry season right now, but
right.
You never know
right.
from the amount of news that's popping out every day.
Yeah, this is definitely the one, you know, because I obviously had to go, you know, I had to go through mid June with the finals, and then, you know, it doesn't really end until the end of summer league, because you got the draft, and then you got free agency, and then summer league. So I feel like I'm just in this past week have entered my, okay, take a deep breath and exhale mode. And I'm going to be in that mode for, you know, most of August, which I'm honestly looking forward to. And then I have a lot of plans in the back of my head for September, and when we get closer to training camp, for some bigger pieces that I'm going to do specifically on the new guys. Obviously I want to reintroduce the readers to guys that they may not know very well, guys like Nick Young and Omri Caspi and Jordan Bell. So I have plans for bigger pieces on those guys, and some of it involves, you know, going to their hometowns and that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to that.
Caspi was a great signing.
Yeah.
Caspi was a really good signing. He's going to be really helpful. He's going to be really helpful. Like,
I don't think people realize how helpful he's going to be.
Yeah, he's a really good fit there. You know who doesn't realize it, apparently? The New Orleans Pelicans, who traded for him, saw him suffer a thumb injury one game into the deal after he came over in the DeMarcus Cousins trade. And then they waived him and didn't decide to hold on to his bird rights. And then they end up losing him when he would be helpful, because that team needs shooting. So
Yeah. And that's... You know, that's kind of the core difference between a team like the Pelicans and a team like the Warriors. A lot of teams in this league, I think, have a tough time realizing value and understanding that value can be circumstantial. And just because a guy has a minor injury one time should not overshadow all he has done for over an 8-year NBA career, you know? And yep. What the Warriors realized in free agency was, this is a guy who – his market value is extremely low right now, because he bounced between three teams in one season and wasn't fully healthy and had a really down year. Despite that, he still shot pretty well and was effective when he played, pretty effective when he played. And so they realized, okay, we can get him at a bargain, and he can come in and be a rotation guy if need be. I mean, at the end of the day, he's coming in and he's replacing Matt Barnes. So it's not like he's, you know, coming in and being asked to be the sixth man. He's coming in and he's replacing a fringe rotation guy for more wing depth. But if they need him to play a bigger role, he is more than capable of doing that.
All right, dude. Well, let's, shall we? That's how we're ending this. Shall
okay.
we? before we shall, I'm just reminding everyone at the top of the podcast. Oh, give your Twitter handle too.
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is con_cron.
Con Cron. There you go. Say that five times fast. And yeah. You can check out, I'm sure, the Caspi feature, Nick Young stuff. I'm sure it's going to be really good. Connor does great features over at the Chronicle. You can remember Tuesdays and Thursdays, like I said at the top of the show. I am taking off from writing for a little bit starting next week. I am pre-writing some other evergreen features, which might be sporadically released over that time, or they might just release them later this week, depending on what my editors want to do with them. So I will tweet those out whenever they're up online, and tweet out the headlines or whatever the heck it is when we tweet out the morning paper layout and all that stuff whenever they come out. And I'm still going to be podcasting over that time, so you can still tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays. I still got stuff to do. Questions, comments, you can email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter @FredKatz. You can still go on to normantranscript.com for Thunder stuff over that time. If anything big comes up, I'm going to come back. I'm going to write. Like if Russ extends or something like that, I'm going to come back. I'm going to write. But if it's the menial stuff, we're still going to have stuff being put up on the site and that kind of stuff, just from the rest of the transcript team. You can check out Thunder Road there to see what else is there, and I'll end up tweeting out those articles if other people end up writing them too. That is going to do it for today. Connor, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me, man. Anytime.
So I'll be back on Tuesday. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.